Hello and welcome to Circling the Cup, San Jose Sharks podcast, episode number 88, also known as the Burns Cast. And this is a special trade deadline Sunday edition. I'm Alex here. This week is Ben. What's up, Ben?
I think you just drove our only viewer away with that sound effect.
That sounded really 80s.
That's what I was like, going for, a little sports machine, you know?
It was like an old HBO like sports night pod like cast or something.
That's the only Colin, way to, Colin, you're not supposed to talk till he introduces you. What are you doing?
Come on, Colin. Oh yeah, and here's Colin. There you go, Colin. That's your intro now.
We started with no structure, man. I'm just following your lead.
Just like the Sharks at the trade deadline.
Seriously. Yes, let's talk about this. So we may sound a little distracted this podcast because I think we all have our eye on the Twitters as trades are kind of pouring in. It seems like Sunday might be a little bit busier than tomorrow, Monday, which is the actual deadline. But before we get to all of those trades, guys, we got to talk about what could potentially be the only Sharks trade at the deadline, depending on where Doug Wilson is. And that is the Sharks last week traded their 7th round pick in 2020. That's a ways out there, people. You're going to forget we even had that pick. For Eric Fair, who was technically a part of the Maple Leafs organization, although if you ask any Maple Leafs fan, they would have said, he's still there? Because he was on loan playing down with the San Diego Goals, of which he was actually having a pretty good season. He had 17 goals and 11 assists and a plus six rating in 34 games. Now, you might be thinking, wow, what is that address? Great question. You'll notice I was silent there other than Ben's laugh. That's because we really don't know, right?
No, I think we do know. I mean, it's
the fourth line center.
Wait. I got something for this, though.
Yes.
Typically, you call a carpenter to fill a hole.
Right, yeah.
Come on. Ben, you're a dad. You should like that one.
God, that was a dad joke. Wow. So that's really good, too. Where'd you pick that one up, Colin?
Oh, you know, I've been watching you for many years.
That works on multiple levels. So
I think it's because I was messaging messaging Carpenter's play right now on Vegas earlier this week.
So, you know, the rumor had been that the Sharks were looking for exactly one thing in this deadline, right? Fourth line center.
And that was before
and like, hold on.
Injuries are hurdle. And
where better to get a fourth line center than the AHL?
Yeah.
Well, that's
we happen to have one down there.
What confuses me, though, right? And I'm sure it does as well. If you were going to grab a fourth line center because you really felt like that was the thing you needed, why would you get a fourth line center who's that old, who is going? I mean, I understand the UFA status this offseason because doesn't work out. It's a 7th round pick. You're probably going to shrug that off. But you're grabbing one that hasn't really played in the NHL.
Right.
Much this year. So you're not necessarily grabbing, like, again, yes, he's had a good AHL season, but I think we all know AHL, NHL, not the same. And the Sharks should very well know that based on how they've been handling their fourth line center situation. Right.
Yeah,
so it's a weird choice.
It's
let me ask you this, Ben. Of all the trades, for as long as you've been a fan, this has got to be the most out of left field.
Yeah. Well,
Not because of the position that they're trying to fill, but because of the person they grabbed to fill it. And again, no offense. Right, I guess I can't say again. No offense to Fair. That's a name that wasn't even remotely on my radar.
I don't know that it's the most out of left field. If you guys remember, a couple years ago, we traded for that one kid who was the brother of a guy who had been in our organization, who I can't even remember his name anymore.
Yeah, he was young.
Three of them moving around the organization, and that one was just like, wait, what? Right?
Yeah,
and
it wasn't even a good...
What's that?
Was it Sutter?
No, it's not a Sutter. I wish I could remember his name.
Easy for you to think that, Colin.
Yeah. Sutters are everywhere. No, I'm talking about like two or three years ago over the summer, and he didn't stick with us the entire year either. Eric Fear is an interesting choice. I mean, hey, look, I'm of two minds about this trade. First of all, it's a 7th rounder, so who gives a shit?
It's right? Free.
But that 7th round pick, and I'm not going to throw the whole woo Pavelski. That 7th round pick could be used in a package for another trade at some other point in time.
For sure.
And it's a mystery box, right? You're not likely to pan out, but we've seen it pan out before. So
yeah, but I you know, you can't expect a 7th rounder to turn into anything useful. I mean,
right.
the Sharks have turned some into useful players, but it's a lottery ticket, just like anything.
Yeah. But I'm going to interrupt you here. But you're right. You can't. But does a fourth line center, Eric Ferrer specifically, really make any impact as a rental, essentially a rental player for the rest of the season?
Well, have you taken into account, Colin, that he's won a cup?
No.
Well, did he
against us? Yes, this is Doug Wilson of old, everybody. Doug Wilson of old.
I mean, did he win the cup, or did he just get to sign up and get to sign his name?
No. He played well in that series. Yeah, exactly. But he's 2 years on from that, right?
Yeah.
So here are my accumulation of issues about the Eric Ferrer trade. So he's big. He's 6'5". Fine. Yeah. That's what DeBoer has wanted in that center spot, and why he will never give O'Regan that spot full time. Yep. So the upside is it only costs a 7th round pick, and DeBoer is happy, as much as that should make us happy, which I'm not.
Yeah, that doesn't really matter.
The downsides are that this is a guy who's over the hill, 2 years removed from that, from when he played particularly well, and played NHL minutes regularly. I mean, it is good that he was producing at the AHL level, because at least that means that maybe he'll provide value here. But he's blocking guys, right? And this, my whole issue with this trade gets back to something we've said literally every week since the beginning of the season, which is, what the fuck does Wilson think this season is? Particularly with the injuries we've had, particularly with Jumbo. Nobody's even sure if Jumbo's coming back this year, right? So why pay anything for an old dude to come into play on the fourth line unless you know for sure that Jumbo's not only coming back, but that he's going to be healthy for the playoffs? And nobody
there's some upside in your read there, I see. Man.
But nobody knows that.
Right.
And let's face it, Jumbo was quote-unquote ready for the playoffs last season, and he should have stayed home.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of those players where if it's left to him, he'll just hobble out there on two bloody stumps and make a go of it. And, you know, should we even be bringing him back at this point and not, like, give him the summer to rehab? And
that is such a great point, too, which is that if Wilson is trying to build towards some kind of playoff run, you're absolutely right. Everybody who's hurt is going to, you know, come back no matter how hurt they are. I mean, Jumbo played on no knee ligaments in the playoffs last year. So we know he will do that again and not be at full strength.
Do we though? Because obviously he's pushing himself in training, because, you know, we've gotten those reports, which is just sort of his personality. But you got to remember, this is a 1 year contract he's on. He doesn't not want to play anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there may be, and I don't know. I tend to agree with you guys on this. You know, where that's his personality is to push and push and push. But he's also now in a very different situation than he has been in the past with that. Right?
Well, how realistic is he? Is he going to appreciate his situation and just be like, he kind of needs to play hockey? Or is he just going to, you know, shut his eyes to his situation and keep pushing, keep driving, and sort of go on force of will, which, you know, we've seen players do. We've seen players, especially in like the 80s, 90s, where they'll just destroy their bodies because they think they can still do it.
I don't think Jumbo can help himself.
I agree.
I think it's encoded in who he is. I mean, remember that they had to talk him out of, like, literally exercising every day. You know, right. 3 years ago. And so, and in that vein of, you know, what he needs to do to get ready for next season, it probably does mean come back and show you can play a little hockey again this year, right? If he wants to get a contract next year that's not, you know, a $500,000 flyer or whatever the league minimum is. I guess for him, it's probably like $1.5 million. But nobody know, none of us know, right? That's the thing. Like, this could be an indication that there's optimism inside the organization about Jumbo's recovery and his ability to come back and be at full strength for the playoffs. And in that case, if that's what it really does signal, then I guess I feel okay about this trade.
Well,
but I just don't believe that anybody can know that stuff. And in that vein, with, you know, also Hurdle not playing at full strength, and who knows if he'll play at full strength the whole year, depending on how damaged that shoulder is or wrist or whatever it was. Again, all you're doing is keeping young guys from getting time and experience and making mistakes and getting through them.
Yeah, that's my that's my big issue with it, with the trade. I have nothing against Eric Fair specifically. I just don't understand why this was even remotely necessary, right? The Sharks right now have been doing an okay enough job of hanging on. You've got guys who need to be capable to come up, starting to develop. You need them to start to develop chemistry and getting the experience. I mean, it's not like the Sharks have been on this tremendous losing streak while Jumbo and Hurdle and Ward have been out. It popped up and I looked at it like, if you were getting a young fourth line center, and again, no offense to Eric Fair, but who had a longer contract, you know what I mean? Like someone who you could see moving beyond just the season, then that would make a little more sense to me. In fact, actually, Ben, when you and I were initially going back and forth when the trade happened, your first response, we were trying to parse out why you would get an AHL rental player, which just didn't make any sense whatsoever, which is what made it clear that he would probably be coming up to the NHL. Another thing worth pointing out too, Sharks related, is that the Sharks have asked Ward for his team.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I know what you're thinking. Ward had a no trade clause. Yeah, he did. He did.
Everybody on the Sharks is a limited no trade clause. That's Doug Wilson gives them out at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's probably part of the deal with the cost of living and taxes and everything else around here. You either sign for 4 years at too much, or you do that and you get a no trade clause. It just seems like that happens.
It's interesting because you wrapped Ward into that discussion of Eric Fair, and Ward is definitely at best a fourth liner here. And I feel like it's interesting that the Sharks made that announcement that they've asked Ward for his list. Because you don't see them do that a lot. You don't see the Sharks make it public that a guy has been asked to waive his NTC or not waive it, but like name his clubs. And I thought that one of two things could be happening here. First, it could be that somebody actually tapped them and said, "Hey, what are you doing with Ward?" Yeah. And so they had to get the process going. And so in doing that, they decided, okay, so if one team is interested, maybe we should let everybody know that this guy's available to see if maybe we can get a little bit of a bidding war, which sounds ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. I can't imagine anybody would get in a bidding war over, Joel Ward at this point of his career.
Yeah,
I can see Ward. He is still a damn smart cookie, and he's a damn smart playoff experience cookie. He's not going to come in and fix any teams, but he would be that smart player I'd want to keep a couple rookies like safe on a fourth line that, sees maybe 8 to 12. True.
But he's been injured. So here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing about the Ward situation is not that I am not happy that this is the case. Again, I loved Ward when Ward was really playing, and I like him as a personality.
Yep.
But one, the justification that some I'm going to say Yahoo's, not the website, like crazy people came up with for Fair was, he used to have chemistry with Ward, negating the fact that that was many years ago. And my thought at that point was, why would you be trying to get more chemistry for Ward? I feel like that's the last player you really need to be worried about with that. But so to see Ward get put on the block, essentially, that goes out the window. I thought that was pretty funny. But the other thing is, Ben, I suspect that you are correct with, how this has gone down. Because otherwise, why wouldn't you logically, if you really felt like you needed, a fourth liner or anything, why would Ward not be part of that conversation? You know what I mean? Like, it feels to me weird that you'd get a fourth liner and then go,
fourth liner.
And Ward's available. Well,
there's a simple answer to that.
Right.
Ward is not a 6'5" center.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And, Eric Fair is, he's 32, so he's not young, but he's also not the slowest guy on the ice. And what has mainly cost Ward is what little of his speed he still had when he came over here, more or less walking out the door with him.
Yeah.
Plus he's hurt, which it really does make it even more weird that there may be somebody trying to, kick the tires on him for a trade.
Salary floor, anybody?
Yeah. It could be, I suppose. I mean, lots of folks are suddenly making weird waiver moves to try to get under the cap for claims here. So, if Ward goes, I think it would be better for the team. because I think that, you know, I think that DeBoer will overplay him if he is here. And but I will be sad to see him go as a player who contributed a lot to the Sharks, you know, run to the Stanley Cup final. And is a great dude on and off the ice. And I'll be honest, it will make the Sharks less diverse too on the ice. And I think, you know, diversity is an important thing for hockey, and our local team. So that's a bummer, but I wish him well wherever he goes. And if he comes back in the lineup, then I will continue to root for him, but kind of hope that mostly he ends up in the press box because the team on the ice will be better with him.
Right. I've never heard anyone give such a wonderful longing speech and then go, I really hope he's in the press box. That's
I know it's weird, right? I mean, I'm as with many things with this team, I'm of like three different minds on it.
Yeah,
because again, we don't. You can't really be of one mind about any given decision this team makes because it's so hard to figure out what they think they're doing.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, right? Before we get on to some of the other trades that have been going on, because surprise, surprise, people, this is the trade deadline cast. There's going to be a lot of trade talk in this. I know we can't predict anything, right? But it's pretty clear if you follow the Sharks, if you listen to chatter, even if you disregard the chatter, that Doug is obviously, you know, sniffing around whether or not he does something's up in the air. Now, that is my question for you guys. Not necessarily who do you think he may get, but at this deadline, do you A, think nothing's going to happen? B, did I start with A or one? It doesn't matter. Second thing, do you think he's going to get like, you know, some middle of the road move? Or C, do you think this is surprise, surprise, Joe Thornton, blockbuster Doug? Any predictions on your guys' behalf?
I already think Doug has done too much, so I hope this is it. I hope it's just, you know, we wake up on Tuesday. I wake up on Tuesday, and fair is the worst of it, and you know we focus on finding line chemistry and maybe a more consistent defensive transition. And go into the playoffs.
Ben, what about you? What do you think? Which Doug do you think we're going to get?
Well, I think what we've sort of heard the media talk about all this all winter and fall tells you what Doug's trying to do, which is land the big fish, Tavares,
Jumbo Marlowe 2.0,
right? Or whether you consider him a big fish or not, Evander Kane. Seems to be where there was smoke. And also there seemed to have been smoke around Nash in New York.
And by the way, some of the smoke with Kane and Nash has to do with the fact that the smoke has been there for those two with the Sharks for years, not just this season.
Right. And so, I mean, I think that if we do see something in the next day or so, it's Kane. And there are a lot of reasons why I don't want that trade to happen, but,
let's talk about those reasons.
Because
Ben, I'm right there with you, but real quick before you go into it, in that I don't see that second option popping up for Wilson. I don't see him doing a middle of the road trade. I see him either fair was it, and we're going into the UFA season, and then we're going to be trying to throw as much money as we possibly can at guys like Tavares and maybe not getting them, or maybe Doug does sort of surprise and pull blockbuster. I'm not really leaning towards that being the case, but of all the times for that to happen, this and the draft are kind of those two periods, I think, if it's going to be via trade.
Well, I mean, I think the issue is that the Sharks don't get better if you add a mid-tier guy because the Sharks are a team full of mid-tier guys.
Of course. Well, right? and the complication with getting a whatever this player would be via trade, be it a medium or a high player, is that the Sharks don't have a second and third round draft pick this year, which, you know, if you're looking at what's going on in the league right now, you better have, if you want top tier, you better have a first, you better have a bunch of stuff and be eating salary. That's just the way these trades seem to be going.
Well, yeah. And, or you're throwing away that's actually a valuable thing to your team. Like in our case, you're throwing away a LeBanc or a Donskoy or a Meyer if you're absolutely paying the cut.
I don't say that.
But let's face it, you know, we've kind of cut our throat with, you know, prospect, if you want to call Meyer prospect at this point, prospect players before. And we've done it to sort of try to bring in something bigger. It hasn't gone well. So this is why I want Dougie to stay quiet, take a big pocketbook into the offseason and, you know, look at the free agency, which, you know, shouldn't be terrible this year.
No, it's going to be the Tavares sweepstakes, essentially, right?
Well, you've got a bunch of other players that may end up being rentals through the end of the season who will also be sitting there. Again, guys like Kane.
Maybe. I think a lot of those guys who move will probably get re-signed by the guys that move for them.
I would hope so for what they're paying.
You never know. Well, I mean, so I can't really talk about how I feel about what the Sharks will trade for without talking about the Nash trade that happened this morning.
Yeah.
Because for various reasons, that trade, A, does let the Sharks off the hook in a way, because Rick Nash is not good and not worth trading for. That's hyperbole, obviously. He's a, you know, half point per game player, which there's tons of those in the NHL, and the Sharks have a few of them themselves. And in fact, the Rangers moved one in exchange for Nash. But yeah, so Rick Nash goes to the Bruins on his own, and the Rangers get back the Bruins first round pick, which will be a late pick. So it's basically a second. Spooner, who's the guy who's basically scoring at the same rate as Nash, playing fewer minutes. Beleski, who was the worst signing in free agency a couple years ago. And everybody who knew better stayed away from him. A D named Ryan Lindgren, who I think is actually pretty good, but I don't know a ton about. And then a seventh round pick. So who cares?
And salary retained.
And allegedly salary retained. Salary retained, yeah. And of course, a lot of excuses being made for the overpayment for Nash about how, you know, first, this is the only way to fit him under the salary cap, or B, there's going to be something that happens down the road that balances this out. But regardless, this is a shit trade. And my main issue with it is that it sets sort of the price on a couple more guys who might move, who haven't finished their trade negotiations yet. Right. Because we saw right after this, one last thought, Colin, that I'm happy with. We saw Tomas Plekanec move right after this to the Canadiens for not that much, for a couple of young, okay guys in a second round pick. And you go,
salary retained.
You go, oh, okay, whew, I guess maybe Nash didn't set the cost, but the Nash trade and the Plekanec trade were being negotiated at the same time. Those trade calls were made, right?
Yeah.
So where this bothers me is, let's say if Kane is in Doug's sights, and we already know that the Sabres have been asking way too much for that guy.
Almost the same, if I recall correctly, as Nash. By the way, kudos to New York for getting what they asked for.
For sure. But the problem is that if we were hoping that Kane was going to walk through that door, he's a good player. He's got issues, but he's a good player at a reasonable price. The Nash trade makes that almost impossible.
Yep.
Call.
And so the thing with the Nash, like, the original Nash pickup by or signing the contract with New York that always bugged me at the time, and as you hinted at, never really got resolved, was they signed him without any sort of pairing or plan. They're like, we're going to build around him, but we don't know how. And that's kind of why I don't like Kane, because he comes in to fill a hole we need filled, but is he the player to, you know, wing alongside Couture, or is he the player to wing alongside Hurdle? And I don't really see that. And it doesn't feel like they're trying to find a player that complements somebody that they have. They're more just trying to find a new, you know, a new Marlow, a new person to try to build around.
Well, you can argue, and this has been the argument with Kane, outside of his, you know, former sort of attitude and off-ice issues, that he really hasn't had great support around him. So, you know, for someone who's played as well as he's played, he's done that, you know, in a scenario pretty much the opposite of what the Sharks have had over the last, you know, decade to 20 years, depending on how you want to look at it. So in bringing him in, you know, the way I would look at it is that if the plan were to be, and we have no idea if it is, you know, to let's say grab Kane and then make a run at Tavares or whatever, that to me is sort of like that's your backfill for Marlon Thornton, like literally to a T.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know whether or not Kane is the right pick, but I agree with you, Ben. And the other thing too is that again, Kane's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, if you're trading with him for the ability to basically negotiate an extension, you know, that's one thing. But yeah, you're right, Ben. The asking price for Kane, if Buffalo's smart, which, sorry, Buffalo fans, you're not, you know, it could have boosted that considerably. And that was already a high asking price because, again, they were virtually asking for the same thing, at least as far as everyone has heard.
And by the way, in that vein, Kane is worth that price more than Nash is.
Oh, yeah.
Being younger.
Absolutely.
And an equivalent player. I mean, I guess
Nash is kind of like the Freddie Adu of the NHL, except better. Like a guy who, like, you know, plays really well, and you look at him, and you keep looking, and you keep going, how old's that guy now? And you look, and you go, huh, that's it? You know what I mean? Like, he's still got, like, that potential high ceiling, even though he's been around for quite a while. So I think there are a lot of teams that are going to pay whatever Buffalo asks, especially if people are willing to pay that for Nash. The question is whether or not Buffalo actually does anything good with those pieces, and I think we all know the answer to that.
Well, that, and it's also just easy for the GMs to just start Buffalo out and be like, hey, we'll see you in the offseason and, you know, see how much you guys want to open up for a guy who doesn't want to be there.
Oh, they're not. Wait, sorry, say that again.
They're not keeping Kane no matter what.
No. Kane's gone.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have to trade him, and people know this.
Yeah, that probably which is.
Which is the other reason why Buffalo may not, because, again, Buffalo. Bah-bah.
Yeah, but that's just the thing. They might just cross their arms and say, we want to get what we want to get, and people sort of point out that, well, you can get what we're offering, or you can get nothing, so... Have fun.
Letetsu just got traded, by the way.
Yeah. Hey guys, did Braun get hurt and I didn't notice?
I haven't seen anything.
Because he's not in the morning skate.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, and the nervousness appears.
Odie is on waivers, you say.
Oh, no. Okay, so I just followed up. Justin Braun has a cold.
Yeah.
Who knows what those damn colds ending clear.
Did you guys hear me? The Jackets acquired Mark Letetsu.
Yeah, I saw that.
Nashville. Yep. Boy, there's a lot of movement going on. If you're expecting tomorrow to be active, you probably should be watching today because I have a funny feeling everyone's going to be out of steam come tomorrow. Any other trade talk that you guys want to chat about or anything that you want the Sharks to go after?
No.
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, we would love to look at Hoffman, but I mean,
I do have a topic I want to talk about.
Uh-oh.
All right. So in the vein of irrational exuberance,
uh-oh.
There have been, I guess, some connections the Sharks have been kicking the tires on. You know, this defenseman, you might have heard of him. His name is Eric Carlson.
His name rhymes with a player that we already have.
Melbourne. And since that rumor has kind of come out, you have some part of the Sharks community kind of like dreaming up, you know, Burns and Carlson on the same pairing, or Burns with not Vlasic, but with some defensively minded guy, and Vlasic with Carlson, and I'm like. Hold on a second. How do you trade for Eric Carlson? Granted that he, you know, of the teams that might have the cap space to fit that dude, how do you trade for him?
Well, Ben, let me ask you this question. Team
without moving one of the $8 million contracts
yeah,
you have.
Because I was going to say, how much would you like to spend on the back end, Ben?
Yeah.
Because that would be your entire team's salary.
Well, the thing about that, Colin, is you build your team from the goalie out.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, ideally, yes.
And look, I'm not saying I wouldn't want to see Carlson in teal. I absolutely would love to see Carlson in teal. In fact, I wouldn't mind if it was one for one Burns for Carlson. to be perfectly honest, because
yeah, I take that.
Is more defensively responsible than than Burns is, but
he's really good on the feed pass.
I just have to say, this is a pipe dream.
Yes,
Sharks fans, Carlson is not walking through that door.
Nope.
And my favorite response to this was the idea of yes, put Carlson and Burns on the same pairing and watch the world burn.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Carlson's
not coming, guys. It's not going to happen.
And by the way, that rumor popped up mainly because it came out that Doug can inquire, because obviously if any superstar is being made available, you're probably going to check at least. Hey, just curious. What do you ask? Just curious.
My question is, Carlson and Burns on the same line, who do these people think is going to carry the puck out? They're going to get in a fist fight behind the net every shift about who gets to carry the puck.
Hey, we could finally have a defenseman to pair properly with Burns.
But just imagine the power play.
Yeah. Imagine overtime.
No, you know what I imagine from the power play? I imagine all like the guys on the defensive team going down with puck bruises on their faces and chins and chests and just the broken skates.
There is another solution to this, which is Brent Burns power forward.
That Carlson passing to Burns as a power forward. Yes.
But no, Eric Carlson's not coming to the Sharks, everybody.
Boy, not interesting, huh? Carlson.
Just stop.
Carlson and Tavares, here we go, thinking the Sharks are kind of trying to find two forwards to make up for Marlon Thornton, and instead they've had one in the organization all along.
Hey, I am down to dive deep on, as Alice likes to call, rosterbation, but I thought we were trying to keep a higher tone on this podcast.
That's a little much for you.
I would not have brought it up if it hadn't been something that had been kind of floating through actual legitimate quote-unquote.
Okay, so my question is does this start with a K? Are we doing K bagging here? Are we dishing trash on Kurz? And
No, I don't think it, actually I don't think Kurz had this rumor. I don't remember where it started. I just saw it make its way through. Folks, I typically, I think have very, very good takes on the Sharks.
So. Ah. Okay. So whoever you are, you know who you are.
Yeah, you know who you are. You know what you've done.
Yeah,
Ben is apparently been calling him out, but not enough.
You are bad, and you should feel bad.
Well, and you know why that caught on, right? I explained this to my wife, who has been a Sharks fan for as long as we've been together, which means that post the acquisition of Thornton, this is, if you're a Sharks fan, deadline wise, this offseason far and away the most interesting time for the future of the roster since I can't remember when, right? Because again, we've got Thornton on this 1-year contract. Marlowe's already gone. And you've got the rest of the core aging. So like, this is probably going to be the time period where you're going to see the biggest change, which is why we are so hungry anytime. Like the second you, Ben said Braun wasn't in morning skate, we'd be like,
it's that picture, of the guy just staring at the camera and it says screaming internally. That was how I felt when I saw that.
Yeah, like we're on the verge right now of whatever Sharks 2.0 or 3.0 or 4.0, whatever 0.0 you want, just not a 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, are going to be. So it's fun. That's why trade deadlines are fun. But guys, we do have a couple of games. Let's hop into these because we're running out of time. We might have to fly through them. Sharks start this week against the Stars. Belfour is not playing for them. The Sharks win this game 5-2. Goals from Joe Pavelski, Melker Carlson. Guess who's having a great week, Ben?
Mikkel Bar, so
two goals. And by the way, all of these goals in the first. So it's 4-0 at that point. Justin Braun scores again in the second. It's 5-0. And the Stars with the trying to jumpstart a comeback, can't make it happen, end up scoring 2. 5-2 is the score of this game. Colin, what were you going to say?
I was looking at the stats for the wrong game, but I was going to ask Ben, because the argument around Bodker was much the argument you're making for Kane, that, he just wasn't around the right people. He wasn't getting shifted properly. He had no real play support. So is he still Badker? Or is the payoff finally here?
So I'm glad you asked this because there's a bunch of funny Bodker stuff that happened this week on in Shark's Twitter. And also I've been kind of looking at his stats this year and last year. And there was, you know, when he scored the two goals in this game and then he'll score another goal in the next game, which I think gave him four games in a row as a Shark in which he had scored a goal. People, you know, there were some folks in the media who don't follow the Sharks a lot who were like, wait, but isn't this just what Bodker does every year? He gets hot for like 2 weeks and then he's crap. And I looked back last year, you know, because I thought I remembered that he'd gotten two hat tricks in the span of like a week last year and then basically had been garbage the rest of the way. Okay. My memory was wrong. He scored four goals in two games in January of last year. One of which was on a hat trick. And otherwise, the rest of his goals and points were more or less spread pretty evenly and inconsistently across the season.
Can I stop you with one bit of breaking news?
Sure.
Brian Gionta just signed a contract with the Bruins for the rest of the season. So the Bruins were not done. Sorry, Ben.
So
apparently Nash was not enough.
Brian Gionta is going to change everything for them. So it does look like Bodker is having a better season and is on track to having a better season. And he's been pretty good and solid for more than a couple weeks, this particular run.
Trade him.
Well, I mean, if there were demand for him, yes, trade him now. Do it now. Because he's expensive and inconsistent. But the funniest part about all of this story is so one of our listeners, the hockey jerk and a, you know, very vocal Sharks fan on Twitter. So he midway through the next game, which we haven't covered yet, he's like, if Bodker scores a goal today, I'm getting me a Bodker jersey. And so immediately all of Sharks Twitter, including me, was like, let's all cross fingers and toes that Michael Bodker forces this guy to buy a Bodker jersey. And then Bodker scored his fourth goal in four games.
Where's the picture? Let's see the jersey.
Yeah, he apparently said he's going to have to spend his tax return on it. don't make public pledges like that.
I really hope he votes Democrat.
Hey, you want to know one of my favorite parts of this game, guys?
Sure.
I love seeing Stars goalies chased out of the game.
Yeah,
I love seeing that more than anything in the world.
So in that vein, I don't think this was a game the Sharks actually played particularly well.
Yeah, I agree.
The early goals on Bishop were weird bounces and just not great positioning or whatever. But you know, the Sharks had taken a similar 6-0 loss to them, you know, in December. I think it was New Year's Eve or maybe New Year's Day, right? So it was nice to see the revenge. I was hoping that, you know, Jones would actually get himself a shutout, but that was not to be when the Sharks kind of let off the gas in the third period. So
kinda,
kinda. But to answer your question, I don't know if this is a new Bodker or luckier Bodker. I think, you know, I've said it before. I think all credit largely goes to the development of Chris Tierney as a legit second line center who's playing more like third line center at this point, dragging that guy's body up and down the ice night after night. And all that is to say, when we talk about what's going to happen in this offseason, an opportunity to potentially pick up a UFA, number one, they're going to have to pay Tierney.
Yeah.
Given that he signed a 1-year deal to come back and has totally earned a long term deal at this point. So that's going to be an issue.
Hey, can I bring up something else? I know completely off topic, but because more details of this Letetsu trade has popped up. I said before that the name of the game for this trade deadline was salary retention. It's also pass-through teams because Oilers traded him to the Preds and then traded him to the Blue Jackets. And if you were following the trade earlier this week, with the Penguins, Vegas, and everybody else that got killed, it's kind of another pass through situation. So, sounds like that's what you're going to have to do these days to get what you want. Any other thoughts on this Dallas game before we move on? No. Yeah. Well, the Sharks take on another former rival, the Blues. They win this game 3-2. Goals from Logan Couture, Donskoy, and Ben, you already mentioned it. Mr. Bodker.
And another assist from Tierney on that one, too.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. There's some chemistry there, I believe.
You know, let's add, I think Hansen's been pretty good on that line, too, when he's been there.
And you know who was good this game? Martin Jones is quite good.
Yeah, he was. Especially since the Sharks let off the gas in the third again.
Oh, yeah.
And Jones just had to be a brick wall.
Yeah, and brick wall he was. Do you guys have any other thoughts on this game? Because we're running short.
I love beating the Blues.
I like beating the Blues. Blues too. I know that some people who came in later don't understand where that rivalry comes from. But man, if you were a Sharks fan in the 90s, really thousands, you hated the Avs, you hated the Red Wings, you hated the Stars, and you hated the Blues above all of the Sharks' current rivals, because those were the teams we just kept seeing.
But especially the Blues, because Tkachuk and Hull were like the gods of opportunistic goals.
Yeah, and Pronger for a bit too, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you Pronger. Betcha. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I said the name that should not be named. There's a lot of those.
The only thing I would really say about this game is, even though there was an onslaught of blue shots, the Sharks did do a pretty good job of keeping those from being kind of out of the danger zone for like most of this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that's the happy news for the week.
That's the happy news. So the Sharks started a back-to-back against two teams you kind of don't want to play back-to-back if you can avoid it. Yep. The first game being against the Predators. Now I know what you're thinking. Boy, the Sharks seem to be winning. This is great. Well, put that away for a little while, because the Sharks get blown out in this game 7-1. Goal. I was going to say goals. Goal. From Logan Couture in the second, which for a minute there made it seem like maybe this game would not get out of hand. And then it got out of hand.
Yeah, it's been more like 10 minutes. So I had the great fortune of not catching either of the losses like right as they happened. So I've been watching both of them today. I'm watching the Preds game right now. And this is hard to watch. And yeah, you know, 5 minutes left in the second, and it looks like we're still in this game, kind of. And we all know what happens.
There is upside to this 7-1 shellacking.
We got Tavares?
That's exactly the word I use describing it to my wife.
No. Aaron Dell's kind of looked bad the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Which makes it more likely that we will have a competent backup to re-sign this summer. At a reasonable price, because his I think his save percentage is now down to 912.
Wow.
He's not looked good, and I don't know if it's an injury or just the season catching up to him as he's played more games, and this is his true talent level. But it's a good thing it's a bad thing for the Sharks too, because now they don't have somebody to trade for, I don't know, a third rounder or whatever. But
Tavares. No.
Fourth line center, John Tavares. Yeah.
John Tavares would be amazing.
But Dell has definitely, you know, come back to earth, and that's probably actually fine for the Sharks from their perspective. You know, it makes him achievably re-signable now that he looks like a normal backup.
Mm. Yeah.
And the Sharks don't have a lot of goalie depth in their organization. So
you are a whiz at the
silver lining.
Pessimist optimist curveball.
Yeah.
Well, this game was just hot garbage. So, yeah, what more is there to say?
I mean, the nice thing, I guess, is games like this and games like Chicago game, you see our flaws screaming almost every other shift. So at least you can, you know, watch the videos and be like, okay, this, don't do this anymore. You know, do these blind passes from the boards. Don't do these broken hot passes across the neutral zone.
Well, the other thing about this is, you know, Hurdle was back, which is upside, but he didn't look ready for game action. So there's that.
Right.
I think this was the first game in which Fair played.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whatever. And then, you know, the Donskoy Meyer Pavelski line looked really damn good the whole game, but they were the only ones. So there you go.
Well, that takes us into the second game of that back-to-back against the Blackhawks. I don't know why.
What did you guys think about Dell getting thrown to Nashville over Jones taking Nashville?
That didn't make sense to me. Like, I honestly would have played it the other way, because Nashville is going to be all over your goalie and all over your slot, and they're big and they're scary and they're fast, so... You know.
I still can't figure out, to be perfectly honest, I still can't figure out how this team actually views Dell, because they'll say one thing at one moment and then do the opposite. Like for a lot of this season, it's been like, I felt like they should start Dell and they started Jones. I felt like they should start Jones and they start Dell.
Yeah.
This is just kind of more of that.
Do you think they just use a dartboard?
I kind of do. I'm kind of working with that same assumption, Ben.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense to me. Especially given like how the Hawks played, and you know, a lot of their shots coming from the angles and the less the less threatening positions. So that's absolutely the game you want Dell in.
I still like Dell quite a bit.
Yeah, I do too. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, I like I said, he's a more than competent backup goalie. The problem was that he was starting to look like he could challenge teams as a starter, or challenge, you know, to be a starter on a team, and that would make him more expensive.
Yeah, right? I mean,
to either hold on to for the Sharks or make him a tough decision for do we move him or not.
Yeah, but don't forget, we did this role reversal, right? Where in the beginning half of the season, we were having trouble scoring, but our defense was nice, and then we flipped that over. Yep. So, I'm shrugging.
Yeah.
So just in that vein, like, again, the Sharks don't have a ton of goalie talent in the organization. There's not a lot of goalie talent out there to bring in to be a competent backup at a reasonable price. So if Dell's happy here and we're happy with him and we can get him at a reasonable price as backup at the
end of
the
day. Do it, Dougie.
Do it. Yeah, do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
So Blackhawks, you already spoiled it. The Sharks lose this game 3-1, lone goal from Timo Meier. I got to be honest with you guys. I was actually breaking in my new hockey skates during this game, and I was told that the rink would be playing the game, and they were not. So I'm going to kick it straight over to you guys.
As this game, I'm watching the games reverse, but the Chicago game is very much like the Nashville game. Just a lot of broken plays on the transition, a bunch of sort of a questionable defensive, both positioning and, you know, follow up on play. Jones not playing too bad from at least eyeball.
No, and, I mean, he got shellacked right in terms of shots. So, yeah. I mean, he stopped 33. I mean, that's fine.
And well, even better is he soaked up the majority of the shots. Like he was giving out very few rebounds.
Yeah.
And I think Dell could have handled the job at Chicago. Like, again, I think Jones would have been the better goalie against Nashville. But yeah, it was a hard game to watch. And of course, I have a Ben's voice in my head anytime Burns makes a dumb transition pass that ends with a turnover. I just hear Ben go, "Damn it, Burns."
It's usually more foul than that, but yes.
I'm so sorry you have Ben's voice in your head. Oh.
You shut up.
Go on, Con. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
It had some glimmers. It had some interesting play in the offensive zone. Our special teams just look like hot garbage. I wanted to stop the game by the third, but I powered through it, and I don't feel rewarded for my time.
Well, I mean, I guess what I would say about this game is, you know, the Sharks were in it to the end.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Especially when Meier, you know, put that slap shot in. That was a great shot and a really nice drop pass by Burns to him. And then, you know, they did what they could. They fought hard over those last 5 minutes and just didn't get the bounces. Not that they earned the bounces. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you win on the bounces, sometimes you lose on them. They didn't play well enough where we could say they should have won this game. They gave up a ton of dangerous shots in the slot, like just a huge amount of dangerous shots in the slot. You should lose a game when you do that. On the same token, they did get a lot of dangerous shots from the slot in this game too. So if I'm either coach, I'm kind of burning the tape on this game, probably.
Well,
and just happy if I'm the Blackhawks, I'm happy that, you know, my bad defense didn't cost me, you know.
That's true. And it was the second game of back-to-back, and we just played Nashville of all teams.
Look, I saw people watching this game, and I kind of observed them on Twitter losing their shit, like legitimately, like, "Oh, the Sharks they're gonna be out of the playoffs after a game like this or these back-to-back." And I'm like, slow your roll. First of all, look, Shark fans. This team is continuing to play without its best player.
Yep.
And its second or third best player is still not at 100%. And they're playing a back-to-back after having just played the best team in the league, bar none. The Predators are probably the best team in the league, bar none.
Yep.
So, and they just finished, you know, more or less winning four games in a row against pretty decent competition without their best two players most of that time, or two of their best players. So maybe, just maybe, cut this team a little slack for what they're going through. And, you know, if you want to direct rage at Burns for the way he gives up goals, fine. That's fair. He deserves it. But this team is still in second because the Pacific sucks, just like the Sharks kind of do. And ultimately, this is good fortune for the Sharks to be in a bad division when you're weathering the injury to your best forward or second best forward.
Absolutely.
Right? So maybe cut the coffee off at about 3 PM, or the cocaine, or whatever it is that you've been doing. If you're that concerned about these two losses, it's a road trip.
You got straight to cocaine every time you listen to this podcast.
Second half of a back to back. What matters is what the Sharks do today.
And isn't our road record actually pretty good?
It's a good question. I don't think it's great, but I don't think it's horrible.
I mean, the Sharks are in second. The Sharks are in second place.
16-12-5. Yeah, not bad.
That's not
amazing,
great.
But not bad.
It's fine.
It's okay. It's
They're on the road again today against the Wild. If they win today, that's a good road trip.
Yep. Gentlemen, 3 stars.
Ooh,
Colin.
I'm
going through a tunnel.
No, I was gonna say I gotta give one to Mr. Bodker, because I mean, let's face it.
Which one though?
Yeah, which one are you giving?
Oh, I'm giving the 3rd star to him. What? 6 points in 4 games. And, you know, even with his contract, that's not bad.
I can't wait to see who your 1st star is.
Well, I was actually going to go with Couture 2nd, Pavelski 1st.
Pavelski? Interesting.
Because, I mean, we kind of forget that Pavs is still having to return to center and shift against the top lines of all these other teams. I mean, he's got help. I mean, let's face it, he's got some line mates, but he's still doing his job and he's still, you know, producing points. So we need our Captain America, and Couture is the same. I mean, those two guys, if either of those guys go out in a serious way, that's when I start to panic. That's when, you know, I start to set things on fire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've been there this week, just like they've been there pretty much every week. So yeah, they get 1st and 2nd.
Ben, do you want to go or you want me to go?
Yeah, no, I'll go. It's fine. You said that. So I think that I'm going to go with Meyer.
Yeah.
This week. It's not just because he had the only goal in the Blackhawks game, but he actually, I think he had an all around really solid week possession wise, and he even racked up a couple of assists against the Stars. It really was between him and Tierney, because Tierney was playmaking quite a bit this week too. So if there's a mythical 4th star, Tierney kind of has that for me. I think the 2nd star I'll give to Couture, because he's just been still the most consistent Shark on both offense and defense from a forward perspective, and it's just he's clearly the best player on the team right now on both sides of the puck. And then 1st star I'm actually going to give to Michael Bodker, and not just because of the 3 goals this week, but also because he forced a dude to use his tax return to buy a sweater. And I just love that so much.
Oh man, I swear, everything out of spite. Everything out of spite.
Hurt you, Ben.
You don't want to know.
My 3 stars are not too dissimilar, slightly different order. I'm gonna give my 3rd star to Couture. I'm gonna give my 2nd star to Pavelski. Pavelski had a lot of assists this week, particularly against the Stars, and he's still playing well. And then obviously my 1st star is also going to go to Bodker, mainly because I'm just so excited that he's starting to gel, or whatever's going on is going on, and he's doing it at pretty much the right time given what the Sharks have had to deal with, given their injury woes, given their sort of race to hold on to that playoff spot. So high five to Bodker, especially after we gave you so much crap. since your acquisition.
And probably will again at some point.
And probably will again. But you know, like, hey, you gotta when a guy does good, gotta give him the right props.
Yeah, sure. Third star. I have not turned the page on vodka yet.
I'm not saying anyone's necessarily fully turned the page. I'm just saying, you know, high five vodka.
In the tagline of X-Files, I want to believe.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just not ready to buy in, but I want to believe.
As of this podcast, the Sharks are still second in the division with 74 points. Vegas is above them with 86 points. Calgary has been sniffing at their heels. They are at 73, tied with Anaheim, who's also at 73. And then Los Angeles is sitting at about 71. And then way down there below are three teams that probably could be relegated if that existed in the
Edmonton.
That would never happen only because
Vancouver.
That would never happen only because we know that the league would never not try to market the vanilla personality that is Connor McDavid. But excellent player. Excellent player. Sharks this upcoming week. Couple of games here. They take on Minnesota Wild today, who, by the way, put Chris Stewart on waivers today. I wonder if he's going to get plucked by somebody. They then take on Edmonton on Tuesday. And then they play once again against Chicago at home on Thursday. So pretty busy week. Trade deadline is Monday, and it's about the middle of the day because it's an Eastern thing. So if I were you, if you're interested in trades, definitely check out reliable Twitters. Notice that I said reliable Twitters or websites, not
circling the cup,
not Hockey Buzz Eklund crap like that. Spectre's Hockey, that's fine. We'll let you do that because he's not really giving rumors. He's analyzing them. But just make sure you're looking at credible sources so you don't freak out. And hey, don't be depressed tomorrow if nothing happens. And don't be overly excited if something does happen. And you know what? Just don't be anything. Just be zen. Be neutral. Stoic, if you will. You can follow our podcast by subscribing to it on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Android platforms. You Android people know where to go. You're savvy. You can check us out on the web at www.circlingthecup.com. You can see us on Twitter at @CirclingTheCup. I'm sure that will be busy in the next couple hours. And you can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/CirclingTheCup. And by the way, if you're on Twitter and not on Facebook and you're wondering why you see the same post twice, that's because some of those posts are coming in through Facebook. You can usually tell the difference by the tone. Guys,
you can tell the difference if it's shirtless Jumbo, it's Alex on Facebook.
We haven't had one in a while because they're not taking pictures of him in rehab without a shirt on.
I know you're sad.
I know. I'm waiting for some other player to pick up the torch. Like, what are we going to do when Jumbo's gone and there aren't players taking pictures with him? You know, Pavelski's always wearing that Under Armour stuff, the Warrior stuff. Or
you know what? Somebody needs to talk to Coach Hur about going shirtless.
No, I think we can.
Oh my God, it's a third nipple.
Wow. That'll get knocked off by a puck at some point, I feel like.
So, I mean, we haven't mentioned anything about the Olympics, but could I just say, could Marco Sturm come coach for us?
No.
I mean, come on, he's beaten Canada, so he's got a better record than
us. Guys, I have one last question for you.
Uh-oh.
So, Alex Burrows is on Twitter, on waivers.
Yes.
What would you do if Doug claimed Alex Burrows?
Well, because you know Doug has looked at him in the past. You know he has.
Wait.
That's been chatter in the past as well.
But, oh, that, sorry. Burrish. I was like, wait.
Not Burrish. Adam Burrish. Alex Burrows, like, the guy who just got in trouble for kneeing.
Yeah, no.
Who was
no
it? Thanks. Was it McDavid he kneed in the head?
Yeah, no thanks.
You know, after having enough knee injuries with this team, I just don't like knee anythings. We should take away all the knees.
I mean, Burrows is a garbage human being. I would not like to see him anywhere near the Sharks. But you guys don't have strong feelings?
No, I
don't like how he spells his first name as another Alexander.
I would rather have Haley and Brown back, except, you know, they had to stand on each other's shoulders and form like a super thug.
Oh, kind of like the Constructicons or Voltron?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you had to have, like, Haley on Brown's shoulders skating around.
Why do you have to remind me of Mike Brown? What did I do?
I'm sure you've done a great many things to deserve this. Ask your wife. I'm sure she has a list.
Yeah, what the our sole YouTube listener right now pointed out very logically that Burrows would be the enforcer we're missing, but also that he's probably done.
But he doesn't really fight. He runs away from fights, is my
memory. Well, the question really comes into play, and Ben, I know the answer from you, so I'm going to throw it to you. Hey, Ben!
Yeah.
Do teams need enforcers in the modern NHL? I'll tell you what, if there's one thing I enjoyed about watching the Olympics, you know, obviously the ice is larger, so that impacts quite a bit. But speed, skill, shooting.
Yeah, no, yeah, enforcing. Burrows is redundant garbage.
Yeah.
Get him out of here. He shouldn't even be in the league.
No.
Oh, Ben. Bah, 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 bah.
I mean, I don't know how to do a heavier sigh that comes across through our podcast when you ask me if...
You just did a sigh as you were saying that. That was, yeah. an inhaling sigh.
All right. Well, anyway.
Well, guys, that concludes the podcast for this week. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
That we don't do anything stupid in the next 24 hours.
Don't do it, Doug.
And guys, award for Evander Kane, straight up.
Ward for Evander Kane,
there's no way Buffalo's not on Ward's team list.
Ward.
It's probably just Buffalo four times, Edmonton once.
Oh, I feel like that. I feel like that Ottawa are probably everybody's list.
It's Buffalo four times, Edmonton once, Ottawa once.
Let's remember the Douglas Murray trade. So let's get Ward traded for like 2 third rounders. Come on.
And that was two seconds for Dougie.
2 seconds. 2 seconds. That's right. Let's get Ward for 2 seconds. Let's do it. I'm down with that.
All right, guys.
As long as we get Ward visitation rights. As long as Ward comes by. And
this is going off the rails. This is going off the rails.
You're assuming it was ever on the rails, yeah, Alex.
You're the one who started us like five times. Yeah, couldn't even introduce us.
Yeah. I should actually leave those in.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
You can. People will know the secret that I don't hit it out of the park every intro.
They drink.
Yeah, that's the sad part. The water is what threw me off this morning.
Well, you're a Sharks fan, so you know even our water has to have a little bit in it.
No, this was just straight water, unfortunately. But it's in the 25th anniversary Stanley Cup Finals cup, so that's nice.
Oh, so you know, just a little bit of misery in there.
Yeah. We didn't actually say goodbye.
Nope.
But nope. Say bye-bye.
Bye. Nope.
Fine.
Bye-bye.
Bye.